Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
So I was looking at one of my fantasy football teams, and I noticed that I'm a game ahead of Kevin Eck. He's closing in on me, so I figured this would be the last time that I can brag to him that I'm beating him in fantasy football, so I had to get him on the podcast. So eat my dust right now, Kevin. I'm a game ahead of you.
Well, you're a game ahead of me, and I don't know if you've noticed, but we're playing each other this week.
Oh, man, here it comes.
So, you know, I got to say, before we go any further on this, I've been a real victim of circumstances in fantasy football this year. I've been the guy who always plays the guy who has his best week ever.
Yep.
That's why my team is 3-5. If you look at my roster, you look at how many points I've scored and how many points I've given up, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I've just been the guy with the bad luck, you know?
Well,
I the guy last week who had a horrible team, but he's got a horrible record, but he had Odell Beckham. The week I faced you earlier, you had Doug Martin explode for like 33 points.
Yep.
I mean, it just happens to me every week. The fact that I'm 3-5 and you're 4-4, I mean, it is a miscarriage of justice.
Oh, what a crybaby! I'm the guy.
Just stating facts. I'm just stating
the facts. Guy. You don't see me whining about a certain somebody that. It's up to you if we can mention his name. That's beating both of us in that league, and the way that he's gotten some of his wins.
Yeah, it's true. He's like, what is it, like 6-1 or 7-1?
He's 7-1.
Yeah. Current TNA superstar who will remain unnamed.
Right, as if he's not a braggart enough already. And then this freaking guy, and by the way, he didn't even show up for the draft and he's beating us.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, he auto-picked. And he even said beforehand, he goes, yeah, I'll probably have a better chance if I do auto-pick instead of picking it myself. And sure enough,
damn it,
he's leading the league.
See, I wish he could have drafted because then I could really trash-talk him a little bit. But now,
yeah,
it's just embarrassing to try to do it because he didn't pick his own team. I mean, who's the fool here? Me. Oh, unbelievable. All right, well, let's talk about what's going on right now in wrestling a little bit because, you know, we always talk about these, like, down periods, especially when it comes to WWE, and there definitely are kind of hangover periods or down periods. Right now, it really feels like a big one for the company. And the weird thing is, too, they've got a ton of talent. And I think people can make plenty of arguments about how they're using their talent right now and, you know, what guys they would like to see more of or how they'd like them used. But it just seems right now like, you know, I think Raw's been a little bit better over the last couple of weeks, but to me, it just feels like a very quiet time and kind of a ho-hum period in wrestling. Do you feel the same way?
I wouldn't say I really totally agree with that. You know, to me, there's been a real disconnect in how bad the ratings have been as compared to the quality of the show. Like you said, the last couple of weeks have been pretty good, especially not this past Monday show, but the week before that, I thought was a really good show.
Yeah.
And I felt that pretty much, like, I don't recall a bad Raw in a while. I mean, some are better than others. But even if it's just an average show, I mean, to me, it's not bad. Like, you know, when I think of bad shows, I think of, you know, some of the WCW Nitro shows back in 99 and 2000. You know, especially when in 99 when they were 3 hours long. Okay, that was awful. That was hard to sit through. And I don't feel like Raw is anywhere close to anything like that. You know, I mean, even on a bad week, it's still way better than a really bad WCW show back in the day. So I know the ratings are like at historic lows, and I'm kind of perplexed by it. You know, I really don't think the show's that bad. And, you know, for whatever reason, I think people kind of lost interest somewhere along the line, and, you know, they weren't really happy with what they were seeing. And even though the shows have been better, I think it's just going to take some time to get that audience back. You know, I'm a little surprised that WWE hasn't really hot-shotted anything. And maybe that goes into what you're saying about it being sort of a ho-hum period. Is in the past, when ratings were down, there would be drastic changes. You know, heads would roll and there'd be a big hot-shot storyline. And they haven't done that. So they've kind of stayed the course and not panicked. And, you know, I think ultimately it will pay off for them. But, you know, it's not going to get any easier now with John Cena not on the show. So you know, we'll have to see where it goes. I mean, obviously, we're in November. Things are certainly going to heat up around January once you really get into the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania season. So I think things will definitely pick up around that time.
Let me ask you this, too. Going, you mentioned the Nitros from back in that period. How much more difficult, or was it more difficult for you in particular for those shows? Not being a wrestling fan, but right around that time, you were the editor of the WCW magazine. So did it make it even more difficult for you?
Well, by the time I was there, they had stopped doing the 3-hour Nitros. But, yeah, the shows were not good. And, yeah, it was hard. I mean, if you're talking about was it hard as an employee and a guy who had to put out a magazine to put the product over, yeah, it was definitely a challenge.
But also being a wrestling fan.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. I mean, like, I go back to those days when the show was still 3 hours long, and it was just so bad. I mean, it was really a struggle to get through those shows. And, you know, I hear people complain now, like I said, you know, they complain about Raw, it's not as good, or it's too long. But I never feel, like, there are certain weeks I think it feels like it's dragging a little bit, but I mean, by and large, I think the product is not in a bad place. And if you look at, you know, people always want to see new talent pushed. You know, it's like we're tired of the same old guys, and why aren't they doing this or that? Well, I mean, I don't know what more people really want. You've got Seth Rollins as the world champion. Kevin Owens as the Intercontinental champion. Charlotte as the Divas champion, straight up from NXT. And you've got New Day, which has Big E and Xavier Woods, both who came up from NXT, as tag team champions. So you've got all this influx of new talent, you know, that's being put in prominent roles. You got Reigns, you got Ambrose, you got the Wyatt family, you've got Rusev, all these new faces over the past couple of years. So it's not just the John Cena and Randy Orton show anymore. So, like, I'm really a little perplexed when people say they're not pushing new guys, or they're doing, you know, it's the same old stuff. It's really not.
Yeah, it's not. It's funny because when people talk about they want to see new guys, it's like, okay, do you want me to bring in somebody from outside the company and they're going to get pushed immediately? Or if it's one of these other guys that have been in developmental, then it's like, you know, sometimes it's the vocal minority that really enjoy them because they already know who this guy is, but maybe, you know, the huge part of the WWE audience doesn't know them, doesn't know, you know, their background or anything about them. And there's this kind of fine line when it comes to working in new talent. And then some people, I think, almost revolt because by the time you get newer, younger talent and guys like you mentioned, they've been on the roster for a little while. They've integrated themselves before they really start getting that big push. And by then it's almost like, well, I've seen this guy for a little while, but it's still new young talent, even if they've been there for 2 or 3 years. I mean, that's just scratching the surface.
Exactly. I think there's a lot of young talent there for guys that are about to hit their primes or haven't hit their primes yet. And, you know, to me, the future is very bright. And like I said, it's not the John Cena and Randy Orton show anymore. And it's really not going to be with those two guys on the shelf for however long it's going to be. Randy, apparently 4 to 6 months, I guess, is what they're saying. Cena, I guess, is supposed to be back at the end of December. So it's going to open up some opportunities for other guys. But, I mean, when I watch the shows every week, what I'm seeing is a steady diet of the Shield guys, the Wyatts. Like I said, I mean, I don't have to name them all again. Those guys are all over the show and in prominent positions. Kevin Owens, who everyone was just dying for him to come up from NXT and be on the roster, well, he's there. And he wrestled John Cena on 3 straight pay-per-views. Now he's the Intercontinental Champion. He's in a prominent position. Again, I don't know exactly what people want. They wanted all these NXT divas to be up there. Now, granted, the storyline leaves a lot to be desired, but you've got Charlotte there. You've got Sasha Banks. And yet all this is going on, and ratings are at historic lows. So, it has me perplexed. I'm not exactly sure what people really want.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, what they got to figure out. You know, so Cena's going to be gone until December doing what other project that he's doing. And like you said, Orton's going to be out for 4 to 6 months. You know, what's funny is that Cena is actually 3 years older, but tell me if you agree with this. I get the feeling that Cena is going to be the guy that's going to be wrestling for a longer period of time going forward than Randy Orton. Do you agree with that?
You know, I never really thought about it. Now that you say it, one thing I can say is having, you know, worked at WWE and kind of, you know, been around those guys for a little bit is, I think Cena, and again, it's just my opinion, but I think Cena really has a passion for the business that will probably permit him, or it'll probably drive him to stay in the business longer than Randy. I don't think Randy, to me, I think it's a job for Randy. I think he loves it to some extent. You know, he grew up with it, in it with his father and his grandfather, but I don't feel like he has that passion for it and that love for it the way John Cena does. And I think Randy will have an easier time walking away from it than John will. And I think you'll see John in the business when his in-ring career is over. I think he'll stay in some capacity. He'll always be in it or around it because I think he loves it. And I don't know that Randy loves it to that extent. So you're probably right about that.
Yeah, and the thing with Randy, I think that he's one of these guys where if he said, I can be a heel and just work house shows and just go out there and wrestle, he'd be thrilled. It's all the other stuff that comes along with the wrestling business and being a star that I think Randy does not like, which I'm sure
totally
a lot of guys
agree.
Like. Yeah. I mean, look at what Jericho has been doing. I mean, he was just wrestling at house shows. Batista was doing interviews talking about, you know, the new James Bond movie, where obviously he has a role in that. And he was saying, if I could just go back and do house shows, I'd be back in WWE. It's amazing that a lot of these guys are like, I just don't want to deal with the politics and creative, and I just want to go in there and I just want to wrestle. And, you know, it can't happen for everybody. I mean, Jericho has a very unique deal. Being a part of the storylines, being a part of TV is a huge part of the business, and you can't get away from that when it comes to WWE. It's like, if you only want to wrestle, for the most part, it's not going to be with that company. It's going to be someplace else, and they don't want to work someplace else.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, with Randy, I mean, look, I'm not going to say Randy hasn't, you know, certainly he's paid his dues, and he's a huge star in this business. And at this point in his career, he decides that, you know, he really doesn't want to work Tuesdays anymore. You know, he would rather just work the A show like John Cena does. He wants to work Raw, not SmackDown. I would say he's earned it. You know, I think he's earned that right to do that. And, you know, a lot of wear and tear on his body and injuries and things over the years. At a point now, he wants to just show up and wrestle and be on Raw and, you know, still do some house shows or whatever. I think he's earned that right to do that. When you get to a certain level in the business, I think that's your right. So I don't fault Randy for that at all. And, you know, like I said, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think he likes the money that he can make in wrestling. And I think he knows it's something he's very good at and that he enjoys to a certain point. But, yeah, the personal appearances, having to interact with people, I mean, that's just not Randy's personality.
Yeah, you know, and that's perfectly fine. I mean, he has earned that right, I think. It's funny now, too, with him being gone and with Cena be gone for a little while, that obviously they have to rely on different people, especially when it comes to the top baby faces. And, you know, Roman Reigns is a big part of that. And I get the sense that as it stands right now, and I know we're only a couple weeks into this, but I feel like the crowd is reacting a lot better to Roman. It's like WWE has always said, like, we're not turning him heel. We're not changing the path. We're just kind of holding him in this pattern. We're going to rev him back up at a certain point. And now is that point. And I get the feeling that it's not being rejected like it was earlier the year. And I think the crowd is really coming around to Roman Reigns, which WWE has to be thrilled with.
I would say so. And to me, it's been a little surprise. I mean, you and I have talked about it before. I never really understood why people had such a problem with Roman to begin with.
It wasn't,
you know,
Roman. I don't think they had a problem with Roman. I think they had a problem with creative shoving him, feeling like creative was shoving him down their throat. And the other thing was, he wasn't Daniel Bryan. That was his biggest sin.
Well, that was the big thing, was everyone wanted Daniel Bryan. I know we've talked about that many times. The timing of Daniel Bryan returning at the Royal Rumble, but not being booked to win it, and it was just horrible. It would have been horrible for any other babyface, not just Roman. If it would have been anybody else, I think they would have got the same reaction. It was just, they wanted Daniel Bryan in, and if it was Daniel Bryan, they were going to turn on the guy. And it didn't help that it was Roman, who is seen as, you know, okay, he's a big muscled-up guy that, you know, he's Vince's chosen one. So I think all that went against him. But I tell you what, I look at Roman, and I am surprised that the fans have suddenly, and it really seems like the last couple of weeks, all of a sudden, it's like, we don't hate you anymore. Now you're okay. And I don't know why it's just happening now. But, you know, I applaud WWE for their patience, because when things didn't work out at WrestleMania, you know, 7 months ago or whatever it was, they decided, okay, it's going to be a long chase for Roman. And that was really what was missing the first time. There was no chase. He was the power guy from the Shield, and then all of a sudden he got a rocket strapped to him, where he won the Royal Rumble and got the main event at WrestleMania. There was no chase for the championship. Now, WWE's been telling a story that has been in the making since March, since WrestleMania, of him being knocked out of that spot, having to fight his way back and overcome every obstacle in his way, whether it's been the Wyatt family or the Authority, whoever. So I think people have started to get behind the chase. And that's booking 101, so it makes sense. But that's, like I said, on the other hand, I'm a little surprised that just like that, people seem to have changed their opinion of Roman. And it really has just been the past couple of weeks. WWE's been taking this slow build with him since WrestleMania for months now.
Yeah, I think some of it is he's not doing the long promo segments that I thought really, really hurt him. You know, he's being the, I'm going to let my actions do the talking rather than my words for the most part. He's acting a little bit more like a tough guy. And I think he's, with the matches that he's had on Raw, and then especially like with that match he had at Hell in a Cell with Bray Wyatt, where this guy, he's just busting his ass. And I think that the crowd comes around and respects that a little bit more. I think if you add it all up together now, they're like, okay. So now we kind of like Roman. He is a tough guy, and he is a cool guy. And, you know, we like the stuff that he's doing. You know, I think they just kind of come around in a lot of ways when it comes to all those things. And plus, when you don't have a Randy Orton around and you don't have a John Cena around, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. That's the perfect opportunity to do this and to really put him on the top of the card now.
Sure. And WWE obviously is committed to, you know, they're not giving up on making him the guy. So they've stayed behind him all this time. And, you know, that's the plan. And you're right, with Cena and you know, Orton, especially Cena not being around, Roman really has a chance to step up and show that he is that guy. But like you were saying, you know, WWE's been doing all the right things with him. He's been proving that he's a tough guy. He's had great matches, not just on Raw, but he's had really good matches on pay-per-view. I don't think he's anywhere near as bad of a promo as some people say. Yes, his promos are best short and sweet and to the point. I think the only time when his promos aren't good, I don't think it's necessarily his delivery. I think it's sometimes the material that he's given. But to me, the guy has presence. The guy has charisma. I never really understood the hate towards him. But again, I'm glad that people have finally come around. I don't know why it took so long, I guess is my point. And it got to the point for me where I just wasn't sure they were ever going to come around, because I didn't know what more the guy could do. It was just like, it was the cool thing to not like Roman Reigns, and that was just it. Nobody was going to like him. I almost thought you have to go, which I was totally against in the beginning, but I thought, you know what, if you do have to turn the guy heel, maybe you have to turn him heel to eventually make him a bigger baby face.
Yeah, I had thought that too, you know, but now, I mean, WWE has held steady. Those promos that he did, remember when he was appearing on the Titantron earlier this year after the
terrible
Rumble? Those were
terrible.
Brutal. Those are the ones. I mean, everybody brings up the Suffer and Succotash promo, but those right there, those were so written out and so wooden that it wasn't his stuff. That wasn't him, and he couldn't sell it, which I can't blame him for, because I agree with you that you hear this guy in other interviews, and you've even seen some other short promos he's done. The guy is extremely charismatic. He's a cool dude. He's a good guy, and he can do so much more. And then they put him in that kind of environment, and that just kills everybody right there when it comes to I'm not a Roman Reigns guy. I mean, look at this guy, man. I can't buy into that. And I think it's finally gotten to a point where people have kind of put that in the rearview mirror, and he's gotten past it.
Yeah, and you know, wrestling fans can be so fickle too, because if you remember when the Shield first burst onto the scene, you know, even though they were heels, everybody, you know, you just took notice of Roman. You thought Roman was a cool, badass kind of guy. And then when the Shield did the babyface turn as a unit, you know, he always had those cool power move spots. And, you know, it's like, I think everyone really, really liked Roman Reigns. It was only when, to your point, it became obvious that he was getting a big push which coincided with Daniel Bryan making his miraculous return from injury and coming after the title that he never lost. He was really a victim of circumstances. But, yeah, I mean, Roman just has, I don't feel like I'm in love, you know, have a man crush here, but he has everything you would look for in a top guy. It's not just that he has the look. You know, he's not a stiff. Yeah, he's not Seth Rollins in the ring, but he's capable of having good matches with a lot of different people. He's proven it. And he looks the part. His promos aren't nearly as bad as people think they are. I just, you know, to me, the guy has huge star written all over him. I think everybody in WWE thought it the first time they saw him. When I started WWE, he was in developmental. He was Liaki. And, you know, everyone was 100% on the same page that guy was, that he had it and that he was going to be a huge star.
You can admit it. You have a man crush on him. You wish you had his hair.
I do. I tell you, we used to sit around the writer's room, and I'm not going to say who exactly, but a former WWE tag team champion who was on the team would sit in the room with us. We talk about how, you know, how much he loved Roman's hair. And, you know, he really is a beautiful man. I mean, there's no two ways about it.
Yeah, he is. I'm just glad that he's. Can you imagine if he was still putting in the blue eyes, man? I mean, those were, you get lost in those things, man.
That's true. I was mesmerized by those eyes.
He came out on TV and I thought he was putting everybody in a trance. It's crazy.
I'm telling you what, man. He literally is the cliche of, you know, he's a tough guy that every guy wishes he was tough like Roman Reigns, and you know every girl wants to be with him. You know, that's a marketable combination. And you know when you've seen Roman out doing various personal appearances or whatever, he always comes across very well. He's a well-spoken guy, articulate. He's, you know, seems like a down-to-earth guy. So to me, you know, Vince has been looking for the next John Cena for a long time, and Roman Reigns is the closest thing I think that's come along.
Right.
You know, no one's going to replace John Cena per se, but the reason John Cena's never turned heel, it's not a secret. It's because Vince was like, great, we turn John heel. Who's he working with? Who's our top babyface? You know, it's not going to be Randy Orton. It's not going to be CM Punk. You know, when Punk was in the company, it's not going to be Sheamus. Who's it going to be? Obviously, Vince never believed it was Daniel Bryan. With Roman Reigns, you may eventually get that John Cena heel turn because Roman could be the guy.
Yeah, he could be. And the thing about him is, I know people say, oh, yeah, they're trying to sculpt him into John Cena. No one's going to be John Cena. The only way you can make that comparison to me is he's going to be Roman Reigns. But that means he's also going to be the top babyface in the company. When everybody tries to say, oh, well, he's going to be the next John Cena. I mean, Roman even hates it when people say that because he's just like, I'm not John. He goes, I am who I am. I'm a different guy. Doesn't mean that I can't be in that position, but don't compare me with him in that manner.
Well, that's the thing. It's not that he's going to be a John Cena clone, but somebody has to, you know, John Cena has been in that top spot for over a decade. At some point, he's got to vacate that spot, you know, whether it's due to age, injury, whatever it's going to be. Somebody has to take over that top spot and be the face of the company. So, yeah, it's unfair to say he's the next John Cena or whatever, but somebody's got to take over that number one role in the company. You know, somebody's got to be the next in line of the succession of, you know, Hogan, the Warrior, to Stone Cold, to, you know, John Cena. Roman right now seems like the best candidate and really the only candidate that I could see to fill that role.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know who would even be my number two choice at this point.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, who else can they really look to right now and say, this is going to be another one of our top baby faces? Because with Orton and Cena out, you've got Reigns in that position. But outside of that, it's like, who else is it going to be? I know the talk has been, well, they're going to do more Dean Ambrose and, you know, they really haven't yet, but maybe they will. I'm not exactly sure who they're looking to be, you know, another top babyface. And I don't know, are they going to do something with Cesaro? I mean, every now and then they tease something, but then they don't. And, you know, we've never even heard of.
I don't see Vince ever go. Ever
I don't
go.
Either.
Like, he may get a bigger push than he's getting right now, you know, but I don't ever see him saying, hey, that's the guy that's going to be the face of the company.
Yeah, I agree, man. And that's the whole thing there. It's just like, You might get a little bit more, but I mean, I've never even heard the guy cut a promo outside of the one time he said he was a Paul Heyman guy. And that was a couple years ago after he won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania. That's the longest promo I think we've ever gotten from Kevin Nash in the middle, or I mean, from Kevin Nash, from Cesaro in the middle of the ring.
Right, yeah, I think you're right.
And it's the longest promo, longer than any promo that you've given in the middle of the ring in WWE. Now, when it comes to Maryland Championship Wrestling, you're giving the long promos, and you're probably wearing an Ektourage t-shirt right now, right?
24/7.
You're so happy.
Sleep in it, the whole thing.
Do the boys let you keep one of the belts to sleep with at night now you got them back?
One of them. I sleep with both of them, both the belts.
Does your wife get mad at you about that?
Now you're getting very personal, Brian.
I know. That's what I do, though, man. I ravel stuff, man. I try to get behind the layers, you know? Yeah, I don't think, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with Ambrose, quite honestly. Because people say, or people are thinking like, okay, they're going to give him a bigger push. And he does have kind of this magnetism to him, I guess. But he's so different that, I mean, it's in a good way. But then when you talk about the PR that comes with that role, I like Dean, but he's kind of hit and miss when it comes to some of this stuff. I think the stuff that he does, like in these, he does these morning TV hits, and I think he's pretty funny and he's like in his own little world. But there are plenty of other times when he's doing stuff and you're like, oh my God, where's this guy going here?
Well, he's got that quirky personality, and you know, I could see him being like a number two babyface, but not the face of the company, like we're saying. Like, I don't, you know, when you look at him and you look at Roman Reigns, clearly I think Vince is looking at, you know, sees dollar signs when he looks at Roman and sends him off in a suit to go represent the company. You know, I don't think he sees Dean in that same light, you know. And I get that. But I do think Dean could be in a little higher position than he is. I think if he was really given a chance, protected booking-wise, you know, he may be – he gets compared to Roddy Piper all the time. And I could see maybe as a babyface, you know, when you had Piper as a babyface, you still had Hogan as the top babyface, but then Piper was number two. He was the quirky guy. Like, I think you could see that with Reigns and Ambrose as one and two on the babyface totem pole. But yeah, I don't think he could ever be the guy, you know, that stands out as the face of the company.
I still think that maybe when it comes to the next round of babyfaces or people in that role, not number ones right off the bat, but guys I could see kind of high on the totem pole, maybe aren't even with the company yet. And maybe not with the main roster yet. It might be somebody like a Finn Balor or a Sami Zayn that, you know, that those are the guys that they have the high hopes for, saying they can be in higher positions than some of the guys that are on the roster right now. The only guys that are on the roster right now that I could see possibly being huge baby faces are the New Day, whenever that day comes that they say we're going to turn them because the audience is demanding it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, with Balor, I think he might have a shot. You know, I think Sami Zayn might fight the same battles that Daniel Bryan had to fight, you know, as far as size and look and everything else when it comes to Vince seeing him as a top guy.
But, right. Same with Finn.
Yeah.
I mean, Finn's even smaller than Sammy.
What's that?
I think Finn's even smaller than Sammy.
Yeah, I think he might be smaller, but he's just got a, you know, he's got, I mean, the entrance, the face paint. I mean, he's got a presence about him,
yeah.
I think, that Sammy, you know, doesn't have. And nothing against Sami Zayn as a worker. He's great. But I think if you look at the two of them, I think, you know, Vince would be like, I think he would think Sami Zayn looks like a guy that stepped out of the crowd. Whereas Balor, especially when you see him, you know, making the entrance and all the bells and whistles and the face paint, kind of looks like, you know, looks like something.
So the announcement came down the line that ESPN is going to be making a 30 for 30 on Ric Flair. There's only about 1,835 different directions they can go with this, I think. Where do you think they're going to go with it?
I don't know. I tell you, Rick, he's the 60-minute man, so how can you do a 30 for 30 on the 60-minute man?
That's a good question.
I mean, yeah, as you and I talked before, like, I think, you know, you could do a 30-part series rather than a 30-minute special on Rick.
And each part is like an hour or two.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know how you possibly can tell Ric Flair's story and do it justice. I mean, even though those pieces are always very well done, I mean, geez, not just what he's accomplished in the wrestling business itself, you know, which is legendary, but, I mean, all the out-of-the-ring stuff. I mean, he's had some tragedy in his life. He's had four marriages that have gone sour. I don't know. Like you said, they could take this thing in so many different directions. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
How long is that thing going to be, though? Seriously, because, I mean, some 30 for 30s the ones they do online can be, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And I don't think it's going to be one of those. So this is either going to be an hour long or 2 hours long. It's probably got to be the longer one. I mean, you would think that there would be a huge audience for this no matter where they go with it.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they need a long, they need several hours for sure to do Ric Flair justice. I mean, he's a very complex individual, and you know, you got a lot of people who love Rick, and Rick also has his critics. You know,
right? That's why I'm curious where they're going to go with it from that standpoint. And also, I can see a scenario where Rick is like, "Yep, whatever, I'm cool with whatever," and WWE. Not that they have any control, it might be like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think Rick, you know, I think he's, warts and all, you know, it's all out there. And I don't think Rick is apologetic about anything.
Yeah.
You know, his life literally is an open book. So, hey, you know, it's amazing that Rick, I think, is even, you know, Rick has survived a lot. Let's put it that way. The fact that Rick is still here with us, with all the partying and the lifestyle and everything else, you know, it's pretty amazing. You know, the injuries. I mean, the guy was in a plane crash, broke his back, and he still, you know, wrestled into his 60s. It's pretty amazing.
Well, the funny thing is that he's done so many things that if you didn't attach Ric Flair's name to it, you'd be like, that guy is a horrible, despicable person. And the second you put Rick's name with it, like, oh, that's just Rick being Rick, man. He's a good dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, I'll be honest. Certain things that happened over the years, I lost some respect for Rick. First and foremost, just, you know, getting back into the business after that great send-off. I mean, I know you and I have talked about it. The great send-off he had at Mania, getting into the Hall of Fame and the match with Shawn Michaels, it was such a perfect ending. And, you know, to me, he ruined it. He ruined it by coming back and really soiling his legacy in TNA. And look, Rick's so great and has done so much that the fans are very forgiving of anything that Rick's ever done. And, you know, I just wish it could have, he had the perfect fairy tale ending. And, you know, he ruined that ending.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to make Rick out to, like, be the most horrible, despicable person, because he's not. And I, as a wrestling fan, I still have a certain affection for him. I don't really know Rick as a person. You only hear so many stories. And there are definitely some stories that I am not fond of. And I try to push to the side a little bit. I'm not going to give him a break about it, but I try not to dwell on that stuff as much. But I'm with you when it came to the retirement, because you can never duplicate that weekend and that send-off that he got. Nobody is probably going to get a send-off like that again. I mean, Taker's going to get a big one, but he's even going to shy away from some of that. And yeah, Shawn Michaels definitely shied away from it. But you talk about a guy that got put in the Hall of Fame, got to have his final match at a WrestleMania against Shawn Michaels, and then the celebration that they did on Raw the night after. I mean, that can't be duplicated ever again. No. And instead, he decided to get back into wrestling and with another company.
And with another company, a second-rate company, let's be honest. And really, you know, just doing some really nasty things there. I mean, just busting his head open, bleeding all over the place every week for no reason. You know,
yeah,
it was just, it was hard to watch. You know, it was disconcerting to see a guy in his position do that. And we know the reason he was doing it was because, you know, let's be honest, he needed the money. You know, he made a lot of bad decisions in his real life, financially and otherwise, with, you know, marriages and all. You know, he needed money, so he wasn't in a position by his own doing of where he could kind of just ride off into the sunset like WWE wanted to do. He needed to go back out there and hustle and do what he had to do to make money. And it's unfortunate, but that's where it is.
Well, speaking of guys back in the fold, superstar Billy Graham is back in WWE. So he announced today that he has signed a Legends contract and is thrilled to have that contract in a in some quotes and stuff that he put out talking about this great conversation I had with Triple H is now back in the fold after some of the stuff that he has said. So I'm shocked that Billy Graham, I understand that he is a legend with that company and has the history there and everything, but all the things that have been said over the years, and he got taken back, and then he said even more stuff after he left again, and, you know, for whatever reason, he's back, man. I mean, I don't know how much of this is a Vince McMahon thing or a Triple H thing, and Triple H, man, the way that he's been able to talk to different guys and get them back in the fold has been incredible, and this one is, this might be his biggest feat.
Yeah, I'm stunned. I mean, you know, you always hear the old cliche of never say never in wrestling. Well, I thought there were a couple of nevers. Like, I would have told you a few years ago, Bruno Sammartino going into the WWE Hall of Fame, that's a never. And I had interviewed Bruno about it a couple times over the years, and he was just adamant that, you know, he was going to remain a man of his word, and he'd be a hypocrite if he ever went back to WWE. He doesn't want to be in their Hall of Fame. He doesn't consider it even an honor. And sure enough, there's Bruno Sammartino and Vince McMahon shaking hands and raising each other's arms on the stage at the Hall of Fame ceremony a few years ago. That was something I thought I'd never see. Superstar Billy Graham being back into the fold, being given yet another chance, yeah, I would have told you never. Based on all the things that he said and been forgiven for, and then gone back and said more things and been forgiven, and then said even more things. I mean, really, really inflammatory things. It's amazing that I was stunned when I saw that he was welcomed back in, but I think it really goes to show that down deep, Vince has a soft spot for Billy. You know, they go way back to when Vince's dad was running things, and Superstar was WWF champion, I left out a W. And, you know, the plan all along was for Billy to hold it for a while and then transition it to Bob Backlund. And Vince Jr. really believed, you know, he was a forward thinker and saw where the business was going and thought Superstar Billy Graham was the guy who should have turned babyface and been the WWF champion for a long time. Kind of what Vince Jr. ended up doing with Hulk Hogan. So I think Vince has always had this soft spot for Billy and is willing to overlook things that Billy has said where no one else could get away with some of the things that Billy has said about the company, about Vince's wife, Linda. I mean, people should go out there and Google it sometime and look at the things that he said over the years about Pat Patterson. It's just mind-boggling that he would be welcomed back into the fold yet again. But I think Triple H also, you know, I think he grew up, you know, I think Superstar Billy Graham was one of his idols. He's the one that inducted Billy into the Hall of Fame in 2004. So I guess Billy, man, he just has some kind of, you know, he's a very, he's very charismatic, has a lot of magnetism, I guess is the word I was looking for. He draws people to him. And I guess, you know, when you have that it factor about you, it's like, doesn't matter what you say or do, at some point, you know, people will forgive you and
yeah. Get
back in the fold.
And that's the thing is that the criticisms he's had has obviously not been just about the business. I mean, business is one thing. If you sit there and say, I don't like the product or whatever, but the personal accusations against not just Vince, but like you said, about Linda, especially when she ran, you know, for in politics and the stuff he said about Pat Patterson. And that didn't just irritate, you know, Pat, obviously, but so many people in that company love Pat Patterson. And to hear Billy say these things about him just made him an instant enemy to so many people behind the scenes.
And Pat was a mentor to Billy early in his career as
yeah.
well. So it really was shocking. And then, you know, Billy later this is what would always happen. He'd make these claims and then say, No, I made that. He was very adamant that he made the allegation against Pat because he was looking for trying to get some money, hush money, he called it, from WWE.
Yeah.
He was looking to extort money and said he made the whole thing up. And same thing with, you know, he sued the company and George Zaharian, the infamous doctor involved in the steroid scandal, saying that, you know, he was told that he had to use steroids to keep his spot. And then later said, no, that was never true. Look, I'm the innovator of steroids in this business. Same thing with Linda. He was very critical of her when she was running for the Senate. And then backed off and said, no, I endorse. He wanted to join her campaign. So it's almost like he has this split personality almost. Or like,
yeah.
He's like got this Jekyll and Hyde where he goes to one extreme and then to the other. And it's very bizarre. But the most bizarre thing of all is that WWE keeps welcoming him back. And I hope for Billy's sake, like, because I think, I don't know him. I've interviewed him once over the phone. I don't know him. But just as a guy kind of watching from the outside looking in, he seems like a classic case of a guy who is just his own worst enemy. And that down deep, he's not necessarily a bad guy, but he just can't stay out of his own way. And a lot of his wounds are self-inflicted, for sure. So hopefully, you know, this time he and WWE can have a harmonious relationship, because he really is. He's one of the iconic figures in the business, very influential, as everybody knows. Influenced guys like Hogan and Jesse Ventura and a bunch of others. So it just seems like he should be. All is right with the wrestling world if Billy Graham is on good terms with WWE. So hopefully it lasts this time.
And I saw where he even said, like, I'd love to work at the Performance Center and run the promo class like Dusty used to do.
Yeah, no, I didn't think that was going to happen. He was campaigning for that on Facebook. And, again, here's the thing with Billy. And you know, all the statements are out there. So, again, I loved Billy as a kid. You know, like, I grew up when he was WWF champion. I watched him, and I always thought he was one of my – if you asked me to name my top – you know, 10 favorite wrestlers of all time, Billy Graham's certainly on that list. But I tell you what, he says some things that just boggle your mind. Like,
yeah.
He at one point, I remember he wrote something about Dusty Rhodes saying that they were never friends. He's like, we made a lot of money together, but we were never friends. And when I was sick, he never called me, blah, blah, blah. And then when Dusty Rhodes passed, he had a lot of Facebook posts talking about his dear friend, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And then he goes to and approaches, or he wrote a letter, whatever he did, to Vince and Hunter, basically asking if he could take Dusty's job after Dusty passed as the guy running promo class at NXT, which I guess, you know, could be seen as a little insensitive by some.
Just
right
a little,
after the guy
passed
away, to ask if you could take his job. But again, just the whole thing of saying Dusty was never my friend, and then after he died, Dusty was my dear friend. There's so many instances like that with Billy where it's black one day and white the next day. He just goes from one extreme to the other. And when I interviewed Bruno years ago, we brought up Billy Graham and how Billy was also a critic of Vince McMahon and WWE. And Bruno discounted him. He's like, yeah, he goes, but Billy flip-flops too much. He's like, I can't believe a word Billy says, because yeah, he'll bash McMahon one day and then be kissing his butt the next day. You know, and that's really been his history over the years.
So, considering all the different times that Vince has forgiven somebody, how long until you think we see Hulk Hogan back with the company?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I have a feeling. I don't know when. You know, to answer your question, I don't know. I don't know when, but it seems inevitable to me.
Yeah.
That all will be forgiven at some point. You know, I think Vince is a guy who just wants things to blow over and then we'll bring you back. I mean, that's been his history. You know, there's a story that came out with Alberto Del Rio coming back when he rejoined the company. When that incident happened a year ago where he slapped the WWE social media manager after he made the social media manager made a what Del Rio deemed was a racist joke. According to Del Rio, Vince sat him down and basically said, "Hey, we'll bring you back once this blows over." And I think that's been Vince's history. If there's a controversy, go away for a little while, out of sight, out of mind, and then we'll bring you back, and all will be forgiven, and no one will really remember why you left in the first place.
Yeah, and I mean, the things that Del Rio said, I mean, he was talking about it's not a good environment to be there if you are a minority. And he's back. And I'm really not surprised that he's back. I mean, maybe I should be, but I'm not really not surprised considering how WWE's always tried to find a Latino star, and they've had a heck of a time doing it.
They have, yeah. Since, well, this is what I wrote on my Eddie. Blog about Del Rio. What I wrote about my blog on my blog about Del Rio,
yeah,
is that to me, when you make the claims that he made, which is after he was fired by WWE, he then talked about how a certain top executive would always make racist jokes, and that you know, it was Latinos, it was African Americans, and nobody ever said anything because it was a person, a prominent person there, and you really couldn't say anything. You just kind of had to take it. But once he was fired, he claims he then, the person, the executive who called him and informed him of his release, at that point Del Rio had nothing to lose and basically said, hey, you know, just so you know, I didn't appreciate the racist jokes, and you set a bad example because when you make them, being a person in your position, then the people under you think it's okay to make them. So when you make those statements, okay, that's fine. That was your experience, your point of view. But now if you go back to the company, to me there's one of two choices. Either you'll put the lure of a high-paying WWE contract and the prestige of working for WWE over your principles, or you exaggerated what happened while you were there and it was sour grapes because you got fired. So to me, it has to be one of those two things. I don't think there's an option C.
No, and even an apology, it's still, because that's going to be something that's private, because I don't think he's going to sit here and say, yeah, so-and-so said this about me, but we talked it out and he apologized, right. So it's all good now. I mean, that you can't do that, you know, in a public forum.
You know, I'm a little surprised Del Rio did go back, too, because when he left at the time, I think it was no secret that he was, I mean, when he got fired, it's at the time, he was saying he was going to leave anyway.
Right. He was burned out.
He was burnt out. He wasn't happy there. You know, when he was fired, that obviously expedited things. But at the end of the day, you know, to your point, it's like, hey, WWE is the best option. You know, when you're a guy at Del Rio's level and you can make big money and you're in demand, you know, the best place to go is WWE.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to make the best living. And I guess he could always use the, well, I had to do what was best for my family, you know, argument, which
sure,
you're going to make more money, I assume, in WWE than anywhere else.
Right. It's not going back to Mexico to drop your heavyweight championship. Oh, I got to do what's best for business. And you know what? To be fair, I don't know if it was his choice not to go or if WWE said you can't go.
I don't know, man. I believe, as Vince McMahon has said, I believe in the time-honored tradition. You know, that you do what's right for business. And to me, it's unconscionable that he, whether it's his choice or, I mean, let's be honest, it's ultimately Vince McMahon's choice, that Del Rio won't go back and do business and drop the title. I think that's horrible.
Yeah, know? I do too.
It's not going to hurt WWE at all. The only reason they won't let him do it is because they can. You know, they can tell him, don't do it, and that's that. I don't know why they wouldn't allow it. To me, it's just the right thing to do. And, you know, Vince is a guy who a lot of times talks about doing the right thing.
Yeah, it's a little bit disappointing. And I'm going to be curious to see how they use him going forward, because he's a heel right now. The belief is that sooner or later he's going to turn babyface. They want a big Hispanic babyface star. I don't see it with Alberto. I think he's got a lot of talent. To me, he is a heel. He should always be a heel. Maybe I feel that way partially because of the way they turned him, you know, in his previous run, and it flopped. And not to his fault, it was just the way that they did it, that I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I mean, as a talent, it's good to see him back in the company. There's been so many other things, though, with him that it made me really raise my eyebrow about him.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what you're talking about there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought his babyface run, I agree with you, it was a flop. And I just don't, to me, he doesn't have whatever it is. You know, and it's weird because I know he was a babyface predominantly in Mexico. But here in the States, for whatever reason, it didn't click. And yeah, the storyline to make him a babyface wasn't good. You know, Ricardo Rodriguez was carrying around a spit bucket for some reason. I worked at the company that I never understood what that was supposed to mean. And yeah, that whole thing just never worked. I think he's much better as a heel. If WWE does have designs on planning and babyface, turning him babyface down the road, and they do want him to be that Latino star that they're seeking, I hope they have a much better plan than last time, and I hope they tweak his character somewhat so that he connects with the audience better, because, I mean, that thing died a slow death the last time.
It wasn't even slow.
He had to go back to being a heel again.
Yeah, he did. So before I let you go, obviously, you are managing the Maryland Tag Team Champions, Maryland Championship Wrestling Tag Team Champions, which yeah. I mentioned before a little bit, the Entourage. So when are you going to be appearing next with your boys?
Well, we got a couple shows coming up, not this weekend, but the next weekend. November 13th in Waldorf, Maryland, and then November 14th at the MCW Arena in lovely Joppa, Maryland.
Yeah.
And strangely enough, the guy we talked about earlier, the Nature Boy Ric Flair, will be in attendance at both of those.
Oh, shows. Yeah, man. You're going to be Nature that night.
Yeah, and on the 14th in Joppa, it will be somewhat of a Four Horsemen reunion, because not only will Rick be there, but Tully Blanchard, J.J. Dillon, and Baby Doll will also
be there. Oh, wow. Tully's my buddy. You know that, right?
I've heard that. So if I drop your name to Tully at the show, that'll get me in with him?
Absolutely, it will. I've told the story before, but if we're off by a day, he almost was the person that married me and my wife. We couldn't get him to do it. I mean, we were off by a day. He had already made a commitment. He couldn't break it. But I would have easily have thrown the other person to the wayside if Tully was available. But,
well, yeah, how could you not?
I know. I told my wife, I'm like, I don't care how much that guy was going to cost. If we can get Tully, it's going to happen. But he had made a commitment, and we couldn't do it. You know, we got married on a Sunday, and he was making an appearance someplace, and he had scheduled it, you know, months out, and I didn't ask him or didn't even think about asking him until like a week before, because I'd seen him, and just didn't work. But that would have been a hell of a story if I had gotten him to do that.
All right, well, I'll make sure when I see him, you know, that I drop your name. And
there you go. You won't cringe, I promise.
All right.
Flair, if you ask him, if you drop my name to Flair, he'd be like, who?
So I wanted to throw the website out there, too, MarylandWrestling.com, in case anybody wants to, you know, further check out. If they're in the area or, you know, even if you want to make a road trip, it's MCW is, I would say, one of the better independent promotions in the Northeast, and dare I say, the country.
Absolutely. And
how could they not be? They have the Entourage of the MCW Tag Team Champions.
You know what? The one thing that I am finding lacking on that website, I do not see Entourage T-shirts for sale on the website.
Well, I'll get somebody fired over that.
You should, sure. Man. That's ridiculous.
You know, the last guy that crossed us, Patrick Clark, went running off to WWE Developmental.
He's right around the corner from me right now.
There you go. And he did that. He got out because he didn't want to face the Entourage anymore.
Can you blame him?
Nope.
Not at all.
He just wasn't tough enough.
Oh, man. Look at you with the puns. Well, everybody can go online. They can find Kevin's blog. You can go find the Kevin or the Eck Factor. It's KevinEckWrestling.sportsblog.com. And I'm sure you can find Kevin on Facebook as well, because he's always ranting and raving, especially when it comes to his Ravens and Orioles, and bragging about being the manager of the Tag Team Champions of Maryland Championship Wrestling on there as well. So always enjoy the conversation, Kevin.
Likewise.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.